Okay, folks, welcome. Mike Levintovich. It is about 1 o'clock, actually now 1:01 p.m. Eastern Time here on Tuesday, June 20th. Recently back from spending about 4 days with Andy, Barry, and Philip out in Bermuda along with other top leaders, about, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 of us throughout the company. Taking our own time to go out there and have some fun, do a little brainstorming, get a little company updates in terms of what's going on. And I'll just say that it is exciting. It is very exciting to know what lies beneath the surface, what is continuing to drive this company to continue to do what we do on a regular basis, but also to continue to drive the growth that is, you know, still going on, but that will continue throughout this year. And it's just exciting to know the commitment, you know, for growth there. I mean, if you understand what's going on between, you know, negotiations with carriers and potential products to, you know, new facilities and increasing the square footage for the mailing operation for PDR and the new buildings. Oh, my gosh, the list of stuff that's going on is just crazy and endless. And it's neat to know that there's a huge staff that's backing us up, that's looking out for the future, not just looking out for, you know, today and in the next 5 minutes, but looking out for, you know, 6 months, 12 months, 2 years out. And it's amazing some of the plans that are coming together. I know we still got a lot of people logging in here, so we'll kind of just keep the comments very introductory as we get started. But just suffice to say that there's a lot going on, that, you know, the owners of the company, I continue to be impressed with their commitment not to short-term profits but to long-term growth of the company, and the growth opportunity for you as a writing agent, the opportunity for you to have good quality products to serve your clients, and, you know, the opportunity for you as an agent to earn a strong income. Those are all, you know, key aspects of the equation that they pay strong attention to. And so, you know, kudos to, you know, again, Barry, Andy, and Philip for doing that. For those that, you know, are expecting to hear Philip on this Tuesday call, as Philip's here many times, so Philip is, I believe, probably on a plane headed back from Bermuda as we speak. He should be back next week, is from what I understand. But, you know, here I am the one doing the fill-in and humbly doing so. Big shoes to fill to you know, take on the responsibility for hosting however many agents we have on this call today. I don't know if, you know, I know it's typically in the hundreds, and so hopefully what I can put out will be of value to you. For those that might have seen the email blast, as you may have some questions, I may try to answer a few. I think the topic that I'm going to use today is going to be how to get started, you know, how to get started properly, how to get started properly and profitably. And that getting started, I'm going to relate that to, for someone that's starting off as a writing agent or for someone that's starting off that's looking to build or grow a team. And I think both of those are important. Some people here may be, this may be their first exposure to an NAA call. If so, welcome. I'm sorry that you have to be stuck with me today. No, I'm just kidding. But I hope to do an adequate job. Some of you may be here and you're thinking, hey, I've started, but I feel like my start isn't what I wanted it to be, and you're trying to recalibrate or figure out where you went wrong. Hopefully I can address some of those issues and be of value to you there. Some of you may be on this call, and you may have started to build a team or want to start to build a team or an agency, and you're wondering, okay, hey, what do I do? How do I do that? And so I hope to address, you know, each of those questions or areas as we continue along with this call. You know, I will say, you know, again, having been in Bermuda, it's and working and sitting down with the leaders over time, over the, you know, 4 or 5 day period there, it's amazing to see the commitment that other leaders have made outside of the ownership to really plug in and buy into the vision of the company and to grow the company. And I could call out a lot of names, and I'll, you know, mention a few here. But, you know, if I look at the team, you know, the Fitz group, you know, includes Fitz and Heather, and then you've got Ralph Simpson and Don, you've got Robert Michelle Wallace, and the leaders as they continue to emerge. We've got other folks that were out there, and I'm not going to shortchange. Hope not to shortchange anybody, but you've got Kyle Weinbrenner in the massive organization that he's got, and seeing Kyle and his wife and their kids out there, to Art Leeser and Chris Baldwin and Tom Brown, and then of course who I work very closely with, Alex Abian and Patrick Connors, having been able to spend some time just talking with them, and as we kind of clarify, okay, where are we going next? What are we going to tweak? What are we going to do? What do agents need? What are they missing? As we roll forward, we had Darwin with Foresters out there with us. Darwin just giving us an update on the products, talking about the upgrades to the products, and listening to us and taking notes on other things that they can do to continue to make that a very, very strong program for us. So a lot of good things happening, but let me go ahead and get to the heart of what we want to get to today. And again, the theme being getting started and getting started properly and profitably. I think that the key in starting is to make sure you've got a fast start. I mean, if you've got the ability to fast start, what does that mean? What is a fast start? Well, to start taking action and following what's been suggested. I think that's probably one of the biggest keys. If you've gotten started, hey, look, you've been contracted. Hopefully you've gotten that done, and I hope that you've gotten your F&G contract. I hope you've done your Foresters contract, because those are probably the two most critical ones. In some states, if you're right in Shenandoah, okay, well, they're there, and they're a great part of our business. Sometimes you have to have your first app to get contracted with them. But, man, the two biggest contracts you need to make sure you've got completed are your Foresters contract and your F&G contract. Make sure they're in and done. Most states, you're allowed to write those products without a confirmation of your appointment. Some states, hey, you need to wait to hear back. That's fine, but let's assume that you're ready to roll. Each of you is probably working with a team, and whichever team you're working with, you've been invited through a leader of some sort, whether it's another writing agent or who's just starting to grow a team, or someone that's a very solid leader who's serving and working with several agents. They may have a new agent mentor on their staff that you need to be tied to. Whoever it is you're working with, you should know who it is. It should be clear. And you need to let them know, hey, I'm ready. Here I am. I got stuff. I got my stuff in. I'm ready to rock. And the next step should be they may have a conference call where they have some training materials. They may have a live meeting that they need you to attend. Some of our managers like to train in that manner. I think it's a great way to get to, a great method to get plugged into. Some of them may use some MP3s they have on a CD-ROM or on a website, MP3 being a type of recording or audio file. So different tools, but whatever it is, get plugged in to the training. Get access to whatever training methodology they use. And typically their training methodology is probably going to include, what am I doing and saying on the phone? What am I supposed to do and say in the home? And what are the key products that I should be focused on? And each manager may instruct you a little bit differently, but I believe that the key products that we focus on are HomeCertain with F&G and Forrester Strong Foundation. That's like the key. Now, F&G has got some other products we utilize from time to time. Foresters has other products that will be evolving that we utilize. But the core of our business is going to be built around HomeCertain, Strong Foundation, and then occasionally we use the other products. And I don't want to confuse you, so I'm not going to mention them on this call. But, we've got other products that need to be used from time to time. You may have a referral. We may have to use a different product for that referral. Tap into the person you're working with, and they'll help you out there. So, again, the call that you should have been briefed on, hey, what do I do and say on the home? What do I do and say on the phone? And what are the core products I'm supposed to be using? From there, that gives you enough knowledge to take action. And I think that's probably the biggest thing is to start taking action, because if you're not taking action, it doesn't really matter how much you know. So the key is to either work with any referrals you have, if you have any, or market natural sales. Hey, great. Let's help them out. Beyond that, the next step is to make sure that you're accessing some leads, be it our fresh leads or B leads or, hey, wherever you are, the leader you're working with is going to have the ability for you to tap into some lead flow. And maybe with our telemarketed leads, which are great. Those are neat because someone's actually, you know, been called, they responded, we know they answer their phone, they're great people to be talking to, they have a need, they've got a mortgage. We've got our B leads, we've got our hot fresh leads, we've got, you know, whatever it is, just know that it's a lead and know that you've got something to work with. And tap into those. Sometimes a leader may have some leads that he's got available to you at no charge if they're the B leads or that another agent's had their hands on or something like that, just to get you on the phone. The key is get you getting on the phone and start to make tracks and start to experience things and start to get appointments. And I ultimately believe that the purpose of being on the phone is to get the appointment. And no matter what may or may not be said on the phone, ultimately the key is getting the appointment. And that's so important because some agents, they get lost in other parts of the discussion. They get distracted from their goal.
Time
if you write down on a piece of paper or a postcard, and you keep it near your phone, you know, write it down. The purpose of the phone call is to book an appointment. And unless you've got an appointment, you know, you've not done your job on that phone call. And it doesn't mean you should be booking 100% of the time. But you know what? If you have that as your goal with every phone call, your average is going to be a lot higher and closer to 100% than it's closer to zero if that's your goal. If your goal is to say, you know, is to ask what do they think about the lead or something like that, well, then you're probably going to hit that goal. You'll find out what they thought of that lead. Most people tell you, oh, I didn't remember it or I barely remember it. And you know what? Because you're asking the wrong question. If you assume that, you know, they remember they sent it in, most people are going to agree with you because they don't want to look silly. And as they start to think about it, they're going to realize, oh, that's right. That's exactly what it was. I mean, man, it's amazing how many times I get a phone call and it's regarding a topic or a conversation or something that was said to me 2 weeks ago. And it takes them at least 15 or 30 seconds to get enough data to me for me to realize, oh, yeah, I am supposed to be talking to that person. But I'm initially like, who, why, what? And so if you ask me, what do I think about, do I remember? I'm probably going to tell you no. You know, but if you just say, hey, Joe, I'm calling about the letter you sent in and you send it in because you want protection for your family. I'm going to be in the area tomorrow night. Again, for the most part, people are going to follow you. Most people are going to follow you. So just some subtle things there. But the goal of being on that phone is, you know, to book an appointment ultimately. And the best thing you can do starting out is get appointments, independent of what the results may be, because you're going to learn, you'll be exposed to different conditions and different personalities, and you'll learn how to work with these folks. And I think probably the biggest value to come out of getting started is to go out there and create a mess and then go back to the person that you're working with and debrief. Say, hey, let me tell you about the mess I created. I talked to these people. These are some objections. You know, these are some of the situations I bumped into, and here's how I handled it. And then say, what do you think I should do next, or what do you think I should do different? And then be prepared to listen, because you'll probably get some coaching. And depending on your background, some of you may have come in from this, come into this program, and you've got a lot of insurance experience, more than I do. You know, which 6 years still isn't that much. Some of you may come in with a lot of sales experience. Some of you may come in with absolutely nothing like I did and be completely clueless. And for me, it was very easy just to follow along because I didn't know what else to do. So if you can come in probably more humble and more accepting of direction, you'll probably do all right. Some folks will come in, you know, believing that, oh, if I can't make it work the way I know how to make it work, and if it doesn't work in the first day, then it probably isn't going to work. Well, you know what? Then, yeah, you may have problems because I don't know if you'll be able to listen to us when we need to coach you. We kind of know how – we know a little bit about what we're doing. I mean, we didn't grow from being an $8 million company and submitted premium in you know, 2002 to being $120 million plus and still growing on our run rate company here in 2006. So there's a lot of people that know – what does and doesn't work on the phone, and for someone that's, you know, if you've got some struggles or challenges, or, hey, you might have booked 3 appointments, but maybe you've got out of 10 people you talked to, and maybe there's 7 that you didn't book, but if you're taking notes about why you didn't book them, the ability to talk to someone about, hey, this is what happened or this is what didn't happen, or this is what I said and this is what they said, no, it didn't end up an appointment, man, that's some of the best coaching you can get right there. Because if you can take some notes on what you said and what they said and what the result was, and then look at all the ones where the result didn't end up in an appointment, and if you can humble yourself to be exposed to being critiqued, and it does take some humility, you do have to put your ego on the side and then focus on listening, and then listen to what could you do differently, it's amazing how much you can learn. It's, you know, it's crazy how many times people will think that or assume that what I said was just right, and yeah, I couldn't get the appointment, but neither could anybody else. Well, if you're thinking neither could anybody else, nobody else could have gotten that appointment, I don't care if you were Philip Hudgens or Ralph Simpson or Ed Orell or Alex Abian or anybody else that I've learned from on running appointments and making phone calls, if you get to a point where you're thinking, oh, man, I couldn't do it, and there's no way they could either. Well, see, that's where the problem is starting to creep in. So you've got to kind of check your attitude right there and say, okay, look, if I'm going to learn how to set more appointments per discussion or conversation I have got to make sure I'm being honest about what I'm saying and what the client is saying, and then be ready to listen to what changes they're going to suggest, and then I need to be willing to get back on the phone and implement those changes. If you come up on the phone, you're completely defensive about why you only booked 1 out of 10 people you talked to, you try to justify it, oh man, you know, you're going to have a lot of work here. You're going to struggle. And so you're going to have to go read something or do something to help change yourself so that you can, you know, be coachable. I mean, that's kind of foundational, is if you, you know, you can go out there and take the action, seek out the coaching, but if you seek it out just as kind of a following the step and not trying to figure out, okay, did I really do it as good as I could have, and how do I make it better? I said, man, then you're going to be hurting. Don't use some kind of form of malicious compliance, you know, where you're like kind of doing it because you're supposed to be doing it, but not because you need to be doing it. And so don't do it for the wrong reasons. Do it because you're trying to get better. That's the key. So kind of doing a quick recap, you know, get trained, get leads, get on the phone, take notes, and get feedback. Get coached on what happened and what didn't happen. And then from there, if you've booked appointments, you're probably going to need to be on the phone just to say, hey, I got some appointments, and I don't know what to do next. Now, some of you guys are great self-starters and self-learners, and you're going to be able to go out and just keep rolling and won't even feel like you need to ask anything. Now, some of you have the confidence but not the knowledge, and maybe you'll act like you know what you want, which is good, but you still make some mistakes. So just, again, make sure that you're coachable after you've made some of that first round of mistakes. In fact, typically a good step is before you turn in an application, you know, go over it again yourself while you're there with the client, especially if it's your first app or two. And then even at that, hey, fax it over to the person you're working with before you send it off. Before you send it to, you know, your leader's office or manager's office, make sure that they've taken a look at it or a fax of that application before you send it, just so they can see what you might have left off. Because as proud as you are, I'm sure that one of their application scrubbers or themselves are going to find something wrong, and you're going to have to go back and correct it before you send it to your manager's office. And it's much easier to correct it if it's in your hands than once it's in your manager's hands. If you've forgotten a signature, well, you've got to take that app out to the client. You know, whereas once you send it off and you find out, hey, I missed a signature, it's kind of a little bit too late. So for your first couple batches of apps, I recommend having someone else go through them with a fine-tooth comb before you ever mail them out. And keep a copy of them. Definitely keep a copy. Let's come back as we were talking. You've now started the process of actually running appointments. I think one of the keys for running appointments as an agent is to make sure, as a new agent, is to make sure that you have with you a couple lifelines. You know, if you remember the show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you know, you had a lifeline you could use. Well, hey, man, make sure you use that lifeline and don't walk out of there leaving money on the table. If business is not completed, use a lifeline, call your new agent mentor, call your leader, call someone, and try and find out whatever it is that's keeping the client from doing business, trying to find a way to work around that. Or if you've got a question of how do I fill out this app, or this pricing doesn't seem right, or whatever the concern is or the objection is that's stopping you from completing business at that point of sale, if something is blocking you, get on the phone and let someone help you, because your mind might not have been exposed to all the possible solutions. You may not know how to use some of the tools that are in your tool belt. But if you call and get some guidance, you know, we can assist you with that. We being, you know, if it's you're on my team, if it's our new agent mentor or staff or myself, we've got people that can help you if you're humble enough to pick up the phone and ask three questions before you leave the client's house. And then beyond that, again, you've gone on some appointments, getting debriefed, talking about, okay, hey, what's happening and what's not happening is, you know, I went on these appointments, I had these objections, Joe, I called you here, I got your advice, but I still didn't turn it. You know, you've got to figure out, you've got to be getting some feedback. I know a lot of leaders, they have a weekly call with a handful of agents that you can plug into and give that feedback of you know, what have you bumped into, and also receive feedback. Sometimes you may need to do it one-on-one, but however it is, after you've been on the phone and then after you've been in the homes, you need to be getting feedback. It's so critical. You know, I've heard, hey, feedback is the breakfast of champions. And so you'd better figure out, okay, how do I deal with these situations? And don't just say, oh, the client was too old, there was nothing I could do, or he couldn't afford it, or, oh, it was this, or, oh, it was that. No, it couldn't be done. And that's rough. When you've got that type of attitude that says, no, it couldn't be done, or no, there was nothing I could do for the guy, or, oh, they were too old for home cert, it's like, hey, whoa. You know what? Back up. We got to make sure that you understand that we've got products to just cover just about anybody in just about any situation. It may be true that you may not have the appropriate application or the appropriate software in your bag if there's something that's needed, but you know what? We probably have the right product to help them out, or it may just be a matter of you learning how to use the existing product in a different way to help them out. So it's just so phenomenally important to be getting the feedback from an appointment where you did not consummate a deal. It's just, you know, again, foundational stuff that's got to happen. Okay. Starting, again, coming back to this theme, what are we talking about? Hey, how to get off to a proper start. What are you supposed to be doing? You may be an agent that's been around for a while, and you might have fallen into a rut, hey, or a slump. You know what? There's good hitters that fall into slumps. You know, if you're a baseball fan, there's good hitters that fall into slumps. There's good pitchers that fall into slumps. What do? They get a videotape of themselves, and they go over it themselves and with a coach. And so if you fall into a slump or you didn't start right, well, what I'm giving you is kind of some tools to go back and recalibrate and figure out what do you need to change. What do you need to change in those situations? You know, I could go back and I could tie this back to myself. You know, when I first started, hey, we had two products. We had HomeCert and this other product that F&G had. They told us don't sell that other product, just focus on HomeCert, and we did. And then learned over time, hey, there were a couple other products we had that could help out clients in other scenarios or situations. We learned to use those as we went along. And we sat down around a breakfast table once a week and a few other agents, and we talked about our week. We sat down with, you know, Alex Sabian, myself, Patrick Connors, and a few others, and we sat down and we hammered out, you know, hey, I ran into this situation or this objection. These are the deals I didn't close. Here's what happened. Hey, here's my calendar. I only had this many appointments booked on my calendar. Here's some of the objections I was running into. You guys got any tips on how to handle this? Or have you had anything similar to that? And the people that showed up at that breakfast willing to learn more, to open up, you know, their minds and listen, those are the people that really survived and made it as I look back. And, you know, the people that are committed to making those changes. That whole feedback process, be it on the phone or in the home, that feedback process is extremely critical. Mm-hmm. You know, and those are the big things. Now, from there, I think there's a whole other feedback process involved in getting your business issued. Making sure if you've gotten to the point where you're submitting applications, making sure you're learning how to look at your business on the F&G Life SalesLink website, or going to the Forrester's website and being able to look at your pending business there. Learning how to be somewhat autonomous in following up with your business, but then knowing to ask questions about, hey, why is this happening or why is that happening or how do I deal with this requirement? Or I've never seen this before. How do I work around it? You know, if you've got a conditionally issued policy, what does that mean? What does the word amend mean? You know, on the F&G website, what do I need to do? Hey, be talking with your team or your staff that you have available to learn how to work through individual circumstances, situations that come up. You've got to learn how to follow up on your business and know that it's available online with just about every carrier or product that we have. It's your business, and you need to be take ownership and be responsible for following up on that. So those are a lot of the thoughts I have, in terms of looking to start up as a writing agent. What are the focuses there? You know, if you can do those things, then you can get profitable pretty quickly. From there, you know, as you get the process down, then it's a matter of making sure you've got the lead flow, you're getting the lead flow, and are you willing to travel to the areas where the lead flow is. So if you have questions about lead availability, they are available. The question is do we have enough agent availability to go out there and help cover the clients in this market? In between the B leads and the fresh leads, in most markets, we've got availability. It just may not be exactly in the same spec or spot on the map that you might like. But if you're somewhat flexible, man, we've got lots of options. Lots of opportunities. As you get rolling and you start to get comfortable, and for some of you guys, comfortable might be like, hey, after two calls, yeah, I'm comfortable. I know what I'm doing. Some of you, it may take, you may not feel comfortable about the program until you're 6 months in and you're cash flowing, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, whatever dollars a week in income. So, comfort level is going to vary. Some of you guys are going to feel comfortable working with us pretty soon, but the quicker you start to feel more comfortable, the more open you'll be to wanting to help grow a team of your own. Not everybody wants to. A lot of people decide, no, I don't want to. I didn't want to build a team when I got started. But I had written enough business in March of 2000 that I qualified to attend a leadership or agency development type of meeting in mid-April of 2000, and I did. And really, I was going down there just to learn more about the company. I wanted to meet the leadership. I wanted to meet other agents that were good producers and learned how do they do things and what do they do. And that was my main purpose for being there, was to find out, hey, is this for real? And do these guys think like me, or do I think like them? Or what else can I glean or learn from in terms of improving my own personal production and helping families. The neat thing, though, is that while I was there, I was able to learn a lot more. I kind of caught a vision for building a team. Barry Clarkson was one of the key speakers that weekend, and in listening to Barry Clarkson, I realized that I could build a team. I could develop an agency, and I understood the opportunity or the business opportunity, the franchise opportunity that was available for me to build an agency. And so for me, it kind of took the blinders off in a lot of ways, and I caught a vision for wanting to build a team. I caught a vision for wanting to grow an agency, and I'd only been at it 2 years, 2 months or whatever, but from there I said, hey, yeah, I want to grow an agency. And then I realized that in one particular market, they said, hey, we don't have enough presence in this market. We're looking for some people to fly out there and do this. And so I said, you know what? Go ahead and sign me up because I'm willing to do that. And here I was working a job making $60,000 a year. I'd been writing business for 2 months, and I kind of, some things clicked. I saw enough good things in the people I was there with, understood the program enough, and saw the opportunity that I said, you know what? I could be done with my job in the next 6 to 8 weeks, and I could be focused on building and growing a team and making a lot of things happen. So that was the being at that event. Even though I went there to maybe develop myself as an agent, I came out of there with the decision that I wanted to build a team and build an agency, and I learned a lot about how to do that and what steps I needed to take in order to get there. And so I share that with you, you know, on two levels. One is that we actually have a meeting very similar to that coming up at our leadership conference at the end of September. And some of you guys might have seen the email blast. Some of you might not have. Some of you may be so new you have no clue what I'm talking about. But we did it twice last summer and fall, and then this year we've got it set up just to happen once. There's only a one-time opportunity here in 06 for this event, but we will be hosting, NAA will be hosting an opportunity for producers and leaders and writing agents and managers to get together out in Raleigh, North Carolina. I think it's the 28th, 29th, and 30th, or 29th and 30th of September and the 1st of October, but it's on the website, the NAA Leads website. But this opportunity is a place where it's being called a leadership type of event, and it's being called leadership because a lot of the leaders that are building agencies will be there, but more importantly, a lot of the people that have decided to develop an agency or team will be there. And what's neat is a lot of times those happen to be our top producing agents. So if you're there as an agent and you're thinking, I need to learn more to be a better agent, well, what better place to go and network with some of our top agents than at this leadership conference where a lot of the top agents will be at? Now, some of you might have been at the national conference back in January. You might be thinking, oh, I'm going to go to the national conference next year. Well, that's good, but that's still, you know, another 7 months off. But this conference coming up at the end of September gives you a chance, probably in not as big a setting, to get to know and to network with other top producers and learn more from them and about them and what drives them. And then some of you maybe along the way may say, hey, you know what, I'd like to build a team too, and yes, I can do that. That may not be your main reason for going, that's fine. But if you're just trying to get on board and know what's happening with us as a company, that leadership, I think, can provide you the same opportunities that I had back in 2000 to really expand my horizons and decide, hey, there's something, you know, there's really something solid behind this company name or behind this website. And sometimes you don't just get that from an email. You don't get that from a conference call. And so, you know, each of us has our own needs to do due diligence, to really feel good about what we're doing. So if you're like me, you're kind of anal retentive and you're not like the kind of person that's just going to jump on board because an email looks good or a website looks good, well, maybe this will help you understand more of who we are and what's going on with us as a company. But for me, that was the biggest moment as I got started in building an agency, because I never wanted to build an agency. I never wanted to build a team, but somehow I saw other people there thinking about building a team and saw what was involved. And I realized, hey, you know what, I could do it, and I want to do it, and I see the opportunity to build a solid business around myself that can provide a solid income by helping families and by helping agents. I can help protect families and help other agents grow and work to protect other families, and in doing so could create a very significant income. And so by seeing that opportunity and by seeing others that were chasing that opportunity, and there was only 30 of us in this conference room back in 2000, but that's where things really got crystallized for me. And then from there, I started to take some steps. I kept focusing on my personal production because I knew I needed that just to keep myself afloat. I knew I had to personally produce because I knew that was the income to pay off money, you know, pay my regular bills, and to help me cover the cost of growth. And then I started, you know, I didn't know many people, so I was using tools like newspaper ads and some access to some resume. Well, we didn't have much resume access back then, but I started using some newspaper ads. And I was working in areas where I knew there was lead flow outside of where I was living currently. I was hopping on a plane, going out and writing some business at a distance, working with some agents at a distance, then coming back. And, you know, I learned a lot. I even made some mistakes in that initial foray. You know, if I look back, there's probably not one person left with me from what happened in that first 3 or 4 or 5 months because I did a lot of dumb things. But I learned them, and then when I kind of got rolling again, kind of restarted, if you will, I was able to be a lot more effective. I understood some of the keys. I knew that the keys were to be able to, you know, tap into more agents and help them a little bit more quickly. I knew that the key was to get into markets where hey, agents were willing to drive to access leads, and that, you know, to look for people that were thinking like me and not try to make people think like me, but to find people that thought like me or were open to working the way we do, that were looking for a strong income. I realized that to build an agency, I needed to lean on someone, because there's a whole lot I didn't know. So I was able to lean on an Alex Sabian. I was able to lean on an Art Leeser. I was able to utilize them and have them do a three-way call and explain the business or the program to an agent that maybe I thought was a good agent that I didn't feel comfortable talking to, or I wasn't good at being bold and talking about what we do. I learned, you know, to leverage. I remember having a remote meeting and having Alex Sabian fly out and assist me in hosting that meeting and explaining the program to people. In fact, that was 6 years ago, about six years and two weeks ago, flew him across country to help me train some agents. So I knew that, you know, we had a team of people that were willing to back me up. So I think understand that if you're doing good things, that there's people there to back you up. In fact, I remember Philip Hudgens coming out and helping me host a meeting at another place. You know, man, Philip Hudgens himself, that was awesome. I still barely knew who he was and what he was about, but I remember, you know, him in a conference room and with a stack of leads in his hand, and then, you know, teaching us and me and other new or prospective agents about, hey, what are we doing? Where are we going? I mean, that's so learning to work with people that maybe have better access to the big picture, that's something that's always helped me quite a bit. My first few months, I really wasn't successful at having some elaborate team. But what I did was I had a vision and knew that I could have a team, and I made some mistakes. In fact, I even reached a point after about 4 or 5 months of starting to build a team where I said, you know what, I need to back off, and I probably need to hone in on my personal production and focus on that to make sure my cash flow is right. And so I probably took a period of about 4 or 5 months where I just strictly focused on my personal production, made sure I was, you know, good at working with my referrals, made sure I was working with my clients, working with the leads I was getting, traveling to where I needed to go to get those to make sure that I was profitable and doing well. And then I said, okay, I'll relax a little bit here and kind of look, and I'll kind of re-engage on the recruiting side, which I did after about a five-month break. And from there, I really laid in the foundation and have a lot of relationships from that next batch of work that I did. Some of it was maybe I had more confidence, maybe I listened to folks like Art and Alex a little bit more. I don't know what it was, but I never lost the vision, even though I'd gotten frustrated. So I'm not going to, you know, tell you I had, you know, this great success story where everything was just easy from day one. Now, back then, you know, the way – and a lot of this was with the company that preceded NAA to some degree, where, you know, we had a lot of different struggles. And so I made a lot of mistakes, a lot of it my own fault, you know, but some were some factors beyond my control. But as I learned to negotiate, as I learned to not negotiate but navigate the waters a little bit better, I was able to continue to focus and continue to build and never let go of getting my agency up to that $50,000 a month mark. And I did finally hit that $50,000 a month mark as we approached early 2002. I think, you know, if you look at from the time I got started to, you know, when we finally hit and had a $50,000 month, it was probably early 2002. And then from there, you know, we kind of sputtered a little bit and hung around there. And then it was another, I think it was the fall of 2003 when we finally hit 100,000. So it took me, you know, 2 years to get to 50,000 in a month, and then it took me another 18 months to get to 100,000 in a month from there. So I was by no means any type of real, you know, fast growth. I was no Ralph Simpson. I was no Robert Wallace. I had a lot of areas that I needed to grow at. But as I continued focused on growing the business, I made sure I was growing myself. I made sure I was taking advantage of learning from other people that had built the business along the way. And I was just kind of like, I had made this decision that I'm not going to fail. I knew I was smart enough and talented enough. I just knew that I needed more practice and more swings at the plate to get better and to continue to grow. And so I knew that as long as I could write business, I could take care of being, you know, financially successful. And then as long as I could do that and learn to grow the business along the way, that I could afford to do that. But the key was never letting go on the personal production and never letting go of attempting to build a team along the way. And, you know, a little bit at a time, we continue to grow. Some guys, they have these, you know, stories where they went from 0 to 50 in 5 or 6 months and just kept growing group. They had some struggles and they hit some different blips along the way. If you're going to build a big team, hey, yeah, you'll have a couple struggles, but the benefits are pretty huge. As we look back now, I mean, you know, in terms of income, you know, we earned $100,000 my second full year in the business, you know, and probably earned like $86,000 my first full year in the business, so full time. So, and we've, you know, our income's gone up every year from there. And so if you look at 01, I think I was $86,000, and 02 was my second full year full time. It was like $130,000 or whatever it was. And I don't say that to, you know, I'm not proud of those numbers. I mean, it's a lot of money, but not compared to the money we make now. So, I mean, it's one of those things that, hey, I was able to go out and because of my own pen and the efforts on my own pen, earn a solid income. And then a little bit of income came along the way from starting to establish a team, and that got better and better as we got better at building the team. If you're trying to figure out how do I build a team, well, man, there's two parts of that. You know, one is attracting people that want to work with you. Some people call it recruiting, attracting people to you, finding people, finding agents. The other part is kind of training and working with them and developing those relationships with those folks and growing those relationships and helping those people grow and helping them be profitable. So there's two sides of it, you know, finding them and then helping them and working with them and making sure they're taking advantage of calls like this, like you are if you're on this call. Those are some of the foundations that I see. Barry's the one that painted the initial vision for me. Philip has been there along the way to coach me and help me out. Andy Albright is someone who's also coached me tremendously, just to keep me, you know, help me in terms of the continued vision of where we're going. I see them as extremely committed to helping to find and develop more agency leaders. Again, so if you're here and you're just starting, you're still thinking about personal production, and hey, that's great. You know, as I said when I started this call, my focus is going to be toward helping those that are looking to start and getting started building their own personal production, and then the other piece is going to help those that are trying to get a vision or get a feel for what's involved in starting to build an agency. And so, again, Andy's helped me a lot with the continued vision there. Phillip's helped me in coaching and dealing with a lot of issues. They've both put in a lot of infrastructure to where their staffs have been able to help me tremendously as well. You know, people that have been with them for a long time that I've gotten to know rather well, whether it's Deb Parsons or Lucy Davis or even Deborah Pendergraf. I mean, folks that I've just, you know, get to know over time and, you know, you're able to spend some time with these people on staff and understand that, hey, they've been working with Barry and Philip and Andy for so long because they buy into their vision as well, you know, as employees of the company, but just very helpful and don't want to let them go unnoticed. You know, as I look back now, you know, lifestyle changes. Hey, we've had a lot of things change. You know, it's funny because we were in Bermuda back in 2002, and back in 2002, I mean, you know, we were doing okay. And, you know, we had fun out there, but it's certainly different than being out there now, you know. Being out there now in Bermuda, it's like, you know, to go out and drop, you know, whatever, to be able to drop some money on whether it's, you know, going and swimming with the dolphins or going out and dropping some money shopping or, you know, again, we actually paid for our trip ourselves this time around. This is something that those of us who went, we paid our own way. We went out there and we were able to go out to Bermuda because, hey, we wanted to. wasn't because somebody said, you know, I'm paying your, you know, we're paying your trip for you. It's like we decided to go out because we wanted to. And so it was fun to be able to do something like that, to have that as an option. And, you know, we didn't stay at the Motel 6 either. I don't know if they have one on Bermuda, but we didn't stay there. We stayed, you know, some of us were up there on the sixth floor, you know, the gold level of this Fairmont Southampton Resort. You ever look it up, hey, it's a very nice place. They treat us well there, and they took care of us, you know. It's like you put your shoes out the front door, and somebody brings them back shined already for you. It's just little things like that make a very nice resort. You know, they bring them back, and they don't bill you for it. It's already built into what they're doing. But being able to go out and spend time with people like that, people I respect because I've gotten to know them for the past 3, 4, 5, and 6 years, that's exciting to me. There's things I do outside of the business on a charitable side in terms of what I give with you know, my money and time and church activities that, you know, I was nowhere close to doing. You know, it's neat when you when somebody can approach you and say, hey, you know, I'm interested. You know, would you be able to help us fund this project? And they're not talking about a $500 donation. You know, they're talking about, you know, something with some commas in it, you know, and you're starting to think, wow, you know, hey, I might be able to be a significant benefactor because I believe in your cause. That's a neat thing to be able to do for me. You know, we delayed gratified. We put money back into our business, and last year we bought our first house. We'd rented up until that point, and we rented and lived very humbly and low-key. We were able to go out and buy a house, and we were able to be a nice house. And we were able to go out and, you know, pick up a place for, you know, I don't know, 5,000, 5,600, I think it's 5,500 square foot on a golf course and put some money down on something that was important to us that we'd wanted for a long time, but we just held off, even though we had friends that kept saying, when are you going to buy a house? When are you going to buy a house? Aren't you guys ever going to settle down, you know? No, we're just like, hey, look, we got a bigger vision. Our vision is to build our business and to get our business up to a point where, you know, if we feed the business first, then the business can feed us. And so we've always had that mentality. And even today, there's other things that we'd still like to do, but we defer because we're living in a debt-free mode right now, and we want to continue to do so. And so we'll continue to feed the business so that the business can feed us. So those are some things that, you know, having followed this vision and worked hard at it, it's allowed us to do. You know, we work hard, but we also take time off, you know. My wife, Noelle, is active in the business. It's been great. We have something in common there. And there are some other people that do just great with their wives not being active in the business, and they just, you know, they've built up strong staff to support them as well. You're coming back to still the getting started theme. You know, getting started is you're starting to build your team. I think the vision is probably the biggest thing to get. But from there, as you focused on being a good personal producer, what are your next steps? Well, your next steps are to tap into someone that is able to help you get in touch with people you know. I mean, who do you know that's, you know, within your network or sphere of influence that could benefit from earning $20,000 or $30,000 part-time? Or who do you know that is already making $50,000 or $100,000 or $200,000 a year, but maybe they're, you know, kind of just playing along, and maybe they're looking for something in addition to that or different from that? You never know. You never know. And, you know, as I've talked to people along the way that are aware of my success, there are people that come up to me and say, hey, I have an interest in doing what you're doing. And so I think the first thing is you can go out and create a strong paycheck via your personal production. The best way to launch yourself is to make sure that you have a paycheck that you're excited about, that is significant. And from there, you've got something to talk about to folks. You've got something that you can talk about with people, you know, that they're going to be impressed with, you know, because most people, they may not be excited about what you're doing exactly, but if they see what kind of income it's yielding, then they're more apt to listen. You know, just that's part of what I found. You know, I've seen stories of that, you know, of agents that have gone out and earned $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 in a week, and had some people that just couldn't believe that and wanted to see what they made, you know, the previous weeks, because they couldn't believe that that was a weekly paycheck. And then in doing so, they were very intrigued and, you know, very focused on wanting to take the next step. But you starting out with your warm market of other people you know or clients you know, That's the best way to go. Why? Because these people are people that you already know to some level, and they'll listen to you. They'll be somewhat coachable. When you work with someone you don't know, it takes time to build that relationship, and some of those folks are going to believe everything you say off the bat. Some of them won't. And so, you know, this will help you develop your team. Some of you may be thinking, Mike, I barely know how to coach myself. How am I going to coach someone else? Well, that's why you've got a leader to tap into. That's why I've got an Alex Abian to tap into, you know, or an Art Leeser, or an Andy Albright or Philip Heisen. I've got people I can tap into to help me help someone else. And for those that work with me directly, hey, I'm available for them to work with, you know, to tap into me, and I help them out. And so you, no matter where you are, you've got the same availability there. As far as you know, feeling like, hey, am I taking on too much? What do I have to learn to be able to help someone else out? Well, if you bring on an agent and you're helping them, they're trying to learn the same things you are. What do I do and say on the phone? What do I do and say in the home? And how do the core products work? If you can teach yourself, you can teach them. And if you can teach them, it means you know it better. You know, it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to teach it. Because if you got to teach it, you got to know it that much better. And especially if you feel like, oh, man, this guy's, you know, I'm on the hook for if this guy succeeds or not. If you're feeling that way, that's a good kind of a pressure to put upon yourself, because now you'll know the stuff that much better. So I think that being able to bring someone on board and being able to coach them can make you that much a better player, because you had to pay attention to your material to know it better yourself in order to go coach someone else. So I think you have quite a bit of opportunity to succeed in that capacity. Coming back to, you know, learning more about building a team or building an agency, if some of you may have the vision right now. If you've got the vision right now, then I hope you've plugged in to, you know, the leadership conference that's going to happen at the end of September. You know, I hope you've already registered. If you haven't, take the time now. Go ahead, you know, get on the website, pull up the email blast that went out, get that filled out, and get that done. That leadership conference is kind of like a vital piece for you. If you are, you know, focused on personally producing and you're doing well, great. The next thing you want to do is make sure that you're at that conference so you can surround yourself with other top producers and learn from them. You know, it's amazing how many agents I've talked to that have been to one of these events where they found one of the top producers, spent 15, 20, 30 minutes or an hour with them, learned from them, came back and made some changes and saw, you know, a 30 or 50 or 100% increase in their personal production just based on a few things that they were able to tweak or change based on what someone else said. So make sure you know about this conference. Make sure you're plugged in to be there in Raleigh. Additionally, for those of you that are excited about Foresters, I mean, hey, Foresters is issuing business at a wonderful rate. It's, for those that don't understand, it's almost like writing Foresters versus the other carriers. It's almost like a 40 or 50% pay increase. When you do the math on the fact that there's 100% advance and a higher issue rate, you just can't beat what's happening with them. The fact that they're automatically pivoting to a fully underwritten product if their client's rejected on the mortgage product. I mean, that's unbelievable. It's a very seamless part of the transition to the fully underwritten product. And Foresters is going to have more updates and more good things to share as we roll out their other products and riders at the leadership conference. So another reason, as a personal producer, if you're looking to jump into that, man, I would make sure I'm there. In fact, for those of you that are riding Foresters now, I still think that this Foresters trip is up for grabs just to go to Toronto here based on the conference that's going to end up here at the end of June. You know, for those that don't know, there's a trip to Foresters for the top 15 personal producers and the top 5 agencies. And those agencies and personal producers, hey, they're going to have a wonderful time, man, up at the CN Tower. Foresters does put on a good show. I've been on one trip sponsored by Foresters back last fall. They know how to take care of folks. You know, Darwin's looking forward. I know George Mahachi, the president, and Nick Dorenzo, the vice president. Hey, they're all looking forward at spending a lot of time with the personal producers that qualify for that trip, and we've got some studs that are on there. So that would be another way to get around and try to hone your skills, is to make sure you're qualified for this trip based on your production and get some time around some of the other leaders and some of the other top agents and agency managers in the country. Great place to be. Boy, we're coming up on 2 o'clock. You know, for those that were taking advantage of the Q&A, I haven't seen too many questions pop up here. I've tried to address a couple that have come through. But otherwise, you know, the key is, as I talked about at the beginning, is getting started properly as a producer or getting started as someone that's developing an agency or a team. And the big things as a personal producer, making sure that you're taking action, that you're accountable to yourself by talking with someone and getting the coaching and giving the feedback and getting the feedback. Action coupled with feedback. That's probably the fundamental piece as a writing agent. For someone that's starting to build a team, getting a vision, understanding what's involved, understanding you know, the rewards, understanding the lifestyle changes, you know, that can be in place for having built a solid business and knowing why you want to go through that. If you can understand, you know, what's at stake and what you have the ability to accomplish and the other types of people that have accomplished it, and that there's not one person that's particularly, you know, outstanding or special, it's just that these are people that are just committed to work and learn and follow a formula, you know, like much like a franchise, and be successful at it. So I encourage you to take those steps. I encourage you to, you know, work hard. For those of you that are on the Foresters kick to qualify for that trip, hey, you've got another week and a half here to get business issued and paid, I guess, through June 30th. And then make sure that if you haven't, sign up for the Leadership Conference, because whether it's a personal producer or someone looking to build a team, you will get a lot out of that if you're there, and you'll have a lot of fun along the way. Listen, folks, I wish you the best. It's, again, been a humble privilege to serve and assist on this call, and, you know, I hope that you guys have the ability to get around Barry, Andy, or Philip on the calls that they host every week as they kind of are pouring out their hearts and giving you a taste of the vision of what's happening. I'm hoping that you see them at the conference coming up in the fall, or that you find some other time to find where they'll be and spend some time listening to them and being around them. With that said, have a great day, and let's close out the month of June strong. There's one more week and 2 days left in the production month for the month of June. We're in the midst of a 5-week month, and a lot of you out there trying to set some records. So get after it and have some fun. Take care.